Barry Levinson has worn many hats during his career. He started as a TV writer for The Carol Burnett Show, then transitioned to writing movie scripts for Mel Brooks. By the mid-80s, Barry Levinson was a Hollywood A-lister and had graduated to directing such films as The Natural and Good Morning Vietnam. He won an Academy Award for directing Rain Man, which also won an Oscar for Best Picture. But for many, Levinson's first film, Diner, remains his most influential.
Beth.
What?
Come here.
I'm doing the crossword puzzle.
Come here.
Here we are sitting here.
You never ask me what's on the flip side.
Shrevey, who cares about what's on the flip side of a record?
I do. Every one of my records means something. When I listen to my records, they take me back to certain points in my life, okay? Just don't touch my records. Ever.
Set in Baltimore in 1959, Diner tells the story of a circle of male friends, now in their early 20s, who reunite for the wedding of one of their group. At their old haunt, the all-night diner, the buddies relive old times as they stumble into adulthood. The film has become a pop culture touchstone, cited by many as groundbreaking in its depiction of male friendship. One critic wrote that every time two or three men gather together in a coffee shop on screen, Barry Levinson should get a royalty check.
I mean, it was very flattering. Look, you never know. You do the work you do, and then sometimes it catches on. Sometimes it fades away. Some things are accepted initially and then fade away, and some things that are rejected ultimately, you know, sort of come into fashion later on. It's the nature of work, of this type of work. So it's nice that the piece has remained, and it also has, you know, grown in its attention over the years, because we had such a shaky beginning. You know, the very first review of Diner was written by Variety. They called it a dark and depressing drama.
The movie studio that financed Diner hated it too and barely released it. During its making, one executive told Levinson he had a lot to learn about editing, suggesting he cut what has become one of the movie's most iconic scenes, an argument over a sandwich.
He said, you know, because you're a first-time director, I know. And I said, so, well, give me an example. He said, well, like that roast beef sandwich, you know. He says, you're going to eat it, you're not going to eat it. It, you know, just cut that out and get to the story. And I said, well, that is the story. That is it. That's how you talk about friendship.
Would you guys cut this out? I mean, every time. Anything.
Well, if he doesn't talk, he just...
He means, right?
Yeah, I know what he means, but he beats around the bush. If he'd say the words, I'd give him a piece.
If I wanted it, wouldn't I ask you?
Then ask. You know
you just let it go?
You know he wants
You're
it.
You're annoying.
I'm annoying. I'm trying to eat a meal by myself.
If you want to give him the sandwich, give him the sandwich. If you don't want to give him the sandwich, don't...
I don't want to give him the...
Well, then just eat the sandwich.
Then
shut up.
Well, look at his eyes.
I ask one simple question, you get it. You know what your problem is? You don't chew your food. That's why you get so irritable. It lumps you up like roast beef in your heart. It just stays there.
If you actually hear that, you know these two people have had these discussions on and on, and that is the level of the friendship, without talking about friendship. So that was the point of it, and fortunately I left that in.
The movie's fortune changed after influential movie critic Pauline Kael saw the film. She had a different opinion and called studio execs to urge them to get behind the movie, assuring them she was about to write a glowing review and predicted her colleagues would do the same. The suits may have not got Diner's dialogue-driven script, but fans of film very much did.
I guess in a sense it sort of was like a sleight of hand. In a sense it was a very kind of, well, this is it. Guys are hanging around. They're talking. They got problems with, you know, girls and marriage. And it does have a story, but it sort of plays out in a way as if it's casual in a sense. Most dialogue, you know, goes left and right of center and seldom goes straight down the middle. And that's what I wanted to focus on. And those sideway trips are, in a sense, very interesting and humorous, even when, in fact, they're dramatic. And that was what was interesting about Diner to explore. Most of us go through that. It's the human dilemma. It's how do we talk to one another? When we have problems, how do we address those problems? And so that is where the piece, you know, lives and breathes. And the simplicity of it is the fact that that actually is goes on all the time. But generally, we don't want to focus on that. We're generally looking for stories, what you might call high concept or, you know, action-oriented, etc. And Diner was not that.
Born and raised in Baltimore, Levinson used his hometown for four of his films, beginning with Diner. Levinson's father owned the city's first discount appliance warehouse. Levinson went to Washington, D.C. to attend American University, and he discovered his true calling in a media class. His first professional job was at a local TV station in Washington.
It was a great informative period because I started off, they had this training program. I was a floor director and work on shows like Ranger Hal, which was a morning kitty show with hand puppets. I would work the hand puppets, and which was actually a very important period because Ranger Hal Shaw was his name, I started to come up with ideas. I said, well, what happens if we have the hand puppet and we do a Beatles song, et cetera? And he said, oh, yeah, sure, let's try that out. And we would just do these things. So in many ways, I began to start thinking about playing with music and characters, the characters being puppets. And that was the beginning of getting into the idea of writing, which didn't happen for a few more years. But that was the beginning steps of all of that.
Levinson got his first big break in Hollywood as a writer working for comedians Tim Conway and Marty Feldman, later moving to The Carol Burnett Show as its leading sketch writer. He then co-wrote the Mel Brooks classics High Anxiety and Silent Movie.
It was a great period. I mean, I'm working with Mel Brooks for 3 years on two films every day was invaluable. What you see in the case of Carol Burnett, Mel Brooks, it's not like they just casually go about it. I mean, there is a real drive. You know, Mel going over these things. How can it do this better? How can it do it? Is this funny enough? Is this going to be strong enough? He was just constantly working at that. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to go through the motions. And the same thing with Carol. You know, you'd see them Wednesday in an afternoon rehearsal, and you could see her beginning to put things together. And then Friday, when they finally would tape the show, they didn't read cue cards. They didn't have cue cards. They had memorized it just like a play, and they had worked out all of the beats. It wasn't like, well, let's see what happens here. And she was so specific with everything that she was doing. And the same thing would apply to Mel. They don't take that casually, like, oh, yeah, well, I'm funny, and therefore it's just going to work.
Diner put Barry Levinson on the map as a filmmaker, and his return to the story is his first venture into the world of musical theater. But Levinson says fans shouldn't expect a carbon copy of the original.
Mainly because I don't feel like going through the same territory without sort of rethinking some parts of it. And the motivation to ultimately do it was we follow these guys, we see how they deal with females, and musically it would be interesting to open that up in terms of the female voice. It seemed rather natural to the piece. And so that was the point that would energize me to move ahead. So that's how it began.
And to help with the refocus of the show, Barry Levinson recruited one of his favorite female musicians. Diner the Musical features music and lyrics by singer-songwriter Sheryl Crow.
She writes great melodies and she writes great stories. And so I met with her and she immediately understood what I was talking about. And I thought, well, she would be perfect for this. I mean, she could really bring that music of that time without sort of being, you know, like a slave to the sound of the 50s, but it is very much that sound, and be able to tell the stories musically. And she also has a female's perspective to when we open up the door to the female characters and their dilemmas and their frustrations and their anger and all of that. So I think that made for a good collaboration.
Diner the Musical is bound for Broadway. The first version of the show had a sold-out run in 2014 in suburban Washington, D.C., and Levinson, now 73, says the venture has been a creative high point in his career.
To be able to do something that you haven't done, it's like stepping into a world that you haven't worked before. You're bringing material that you've done, but you can't be sort of locked into, no, it has to be this sentence, this way, etc. You have to have a flexibility to that. But I'm just excited by working with new tools that I haven't worked with before. That's the fun of it.